hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific day today. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, today is the day the Lord hath made. I shall be glad and be happy in it. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. The weather's nice. We're dry as a bone down here in Florida. We haven't really had any true rain come through here probably about 4 or 5 months now, since last year. So it's been an interesting experience having a drought in a subtropical climate. So I'm sure this is all geoengineering, but it doesn't make any difference. You know, we have plenty of water in the Florida aquifer, and we can continue to water what we need to water, and so we're good. It's just that, you know, I wish these globalists would leave the weather alone. In fact, some of the latest research is coming out now. They've been actually doing weather modification since, like, during World War II and beyond, and they're releasing research on that now. I'll cover that in just a moment. But what was interesting, this morning I was having our prayer time with the kids, and I started explaining a few things to them. You know, last week we read that prayer on the air that Todd had given us, and incredible prayer, and also read it on Friday night on Hagman. And now it's posted under latest articles at Health Masters on the front page of the website under latest articles. And we talk in that article, or in the prayer, that, you know, how we're stationing angels around us, pleading the blood of Christ. And we also station, you know, put a hedge of thorns up. And I was thinking about this for a second this morning with the kids, because they've never really had that explained to them. So I know there are a lot of kids who listen to the show today. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to kind of explain to them what that means. Down here in Florida, we've got a bush. It's called a bougainvillea. And I'm sure in the southern climates, a lot of the different areas that are listening, you know what that is. That bush gets about 15, 20 feet tall, and it's got these ridiculously long, like, thorns that are like razor blades that get about 2 to 3 inches long. And what's good about the bush, even if it freezes in the wintertime, it doesn't die. It comes right back, but then the dead thorns are throughout the bush. Now, if I was going to be on a bunch of acreage out in the middle of nowhere, and it was in a subtropical area like here in Florida, I would actually plant that hedge all around the property to keep stuff from coming into the property. I mean, animals won't even go through it. You can probably drive a tank through it, but you're not going to put a car through it because you're going to puncture the tires going through it. So when we station, when we put a hedge of thorns around our encampment, around our property, metaphorically what that means is we're putting entanglements around that property to prevent any unclean or any foul spirits or any demons or whatever you want to call them from coming into our presence or into our dwelling. And it's not just a hedge of thorns around the outside perimeter like you do in, you know, 3D. It goes on over the top of the property, completely surrounds it, all around the top, all around the bottom, everywhere in the unseen realm. So kids, folks, if you haven't heard this analogy before, so when you're putting a hedge of thorns around your property, it's what the word that Seth tells us to do, put a hedge of thorns around so that they cannot be penetrated. Now, also, we plead the blood of Christ over us and our property and our possessions. And the reason we do that is because of the power that comes from the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we know that, and we know that when Christ's blood cried out from the cross, it's crying out for all eternity to restore us to righteousness. Because, again, Jesus is omnipresent. Now, what's also interesting about this, we also station angels around us locked together, basically arm in arm in the prayer that we prayed last week. And what's beautiful about this is these are God's warrior angels that we're putting around us to prevent us from being overtaken by unseen forces. So we're doing a multi-layered defensive strategy when we pray like that to prevent us from being attacked. That's why it's so important, guys, when you pray, you do all three of these things. Now, the best example I can give you that is in 2 Kings 6:17. This was with the prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha was basically with another man who was scared to death because the Syrians had surrounded them, and they had a huge army, much, much greater than what they had with Elisha. And Elisha could see the unseen forces of the angel of the Lord and the army of the Lord encamped about them. Remember, you have a hedge of thorns to prevent anything from coming in, but you're stationing angels around you, inside of you, throughout your entire encampment. It's like putting like 20 SEAL Team 6s with fully automatic weapons inside of your camp. That's what this is like. We're stationing soldiers inside of our camp with us in the unseen realm. Now, this is a beautiful scripture, and you guys listen to it for a second and just imagine what they're going through. So Elisha answered, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." But this guy couldn't see anything. He couldn't see the unseen realm. Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And that's what we have through the blood of the Lamb, through the power of our testimony, through the power of prayer. When we pray and we station angels around us, then the eyes of the enemy, they see that the mountain is full with horses and chariots of fire all around us. And guys, we have to understand, greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. Now remember, this is Old Testament. They didn't have the blood of Christ back then. They didn't have the power and the authority that we've been given because our connection to God in his dimension through the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the resonance frequency tuning them in to God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ and we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony, everything changes and we become authoritarian on this planet. They have no authority over us because they are under our feet. Because the Bible tells us this is the way it is. This is why even when I talk to my friends who are secular and they talk about alien abductions, I say to them, is it not true that if you call on the name of Jesus or Yeshua during an alien abduction, that the aliens or these fallen angels have to put you back into your house and take you home? And they said, well, yes, that is true. Now guys, that's the power we have. They have no authority over us because we're surrounded by this, by the armies of the Lord. We're being protected by the blood. And we have a residence frequency of God Almighty. They are not allowed to touch us. That's just how it works. Satan runs about as a roaring lion, seeking those who he may devour. But friends, listen to me. He may not devour us because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's the power of being a Christian. That's the power of your testimony. That's the power of your prayer. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Guys, we don't have to fear the things that go bump in the night. We don't have to have any fear because perfect love casts out fear, and we are filled with the love of God through Christ, enveloping us through His Holy Spirit. Guys, it's one of the most incredible things that God could have done for us, to sacrifice Himself through His Son so that we could be redeemed and be brought back to Him, to come back to Him in the harmony with God and to be basically the righteousness of God through Christ. What we have and been given through the Word, through the sacrifice of Christ, through our willingness to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, changes everything. Because like I said before, God had enough. This war with man had to stop, sent Himself through His Son, and said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Guys, if you're not a Christian today, always remember this. You can still become a Christian anytime you want. All you have to do is pray. Dear Lord, I accept you as my Father. I accept you as my Savior. I accept Jesus Christ for who He said He is, as the Son of God. I believe that He died and He rose again from the dead. I accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you now to forgive me for the sins that I've committed. I want to be a Christian. I love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now guys, if you prayed that prayer right now, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come in you. You've allowed Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. Now, if you couldn't quite get it because it went too fast, just back it up and you can repeat it. It's that simple. It's grace. It's a gift. He gives it to you. All you have to do is believe and accept Him for who He says He is. And He comes into you, through you, envelops you, and saves you. And guys, this stuff, these weirdos that are running around doing all this crazy stuff with these sacrifices, it's like it says in the book of Isaiah, when they're all laying in hell and they're all chained up, and then Lucifer shows up in chains and they go, wait a minute, what are you doing down here? You're supposed to be the one getting us out. Guys, that's their future. That's what they have to look forward to. It's going to be miserable and horrible for those guys. That's not our future because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And Austin, that's my opening comment for today.
Well, that was an incredibly good opening, bud. Wow. That was awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about as far as why it's so important to not allow a lot of this stuff as far as with the autonomous vehicles, the AIs, the robotics. They're constantly trying to get a portal into that realm. And we see this now, and this is what the globalists have been trying to do as far as a lot of the stuff they're involved in. We've talked to many people that have been in the military-industrial complex that have been working with DARPA and how they're doing a lot of these robotic arms and legs onto veterans and stuff now. The issue that that poses is that you're tying in an AI into your body, and it's essentially giving it permanent control. Well, last week, surgeons installed a click-on robotic arm to a civilian patient in the Netherlands. Now, the military has been doing this for a couple of years now. Now it's entered into the civilian realm. The wearer controls the robot arm by thought alone. Myoelectric sensors and a bracelet worn on the upper arm measure muscle signals that are transmitted to the prosthetic arm via Bluetooth. Through an opening in the skin, the patient clicks the prosthesis on a metal rod that's built into the bone. Because the prosthesis connects directly to the skeleton, a sock is no longer necessary. The nerves that control the muscle in the hand and the underarm before the amputation are meticulously attached to parts of the muscles in the upper arm stump. By connecting the nerves to the muscle acts like an amplifier of the nerve signal. The surgeries are followed by a rehabilitation period so that the patient can learn to contract the muscles in their upper arm by using their thoughts. If the patient imagines opening and closing their hand, the muscles in the upper arm contract. And there you have the bio-warfare now, adding on electronics, adding on robotics into the human body, Dad. Like I said, they've been doing it years now in the military, but now it's entering the civilian world. Very, very strange times that we're living in now.
Transhumanism, Austin. Yep. That's what this is. It's transhumanism. Now they're saying they're going to, within 3 years, they're going to be able to reanimate a frozen human brain and put it into a donor body. Now, I just want to know who the donor was who decided to give up his brain and basically have another brain put into his body. I mean, how in the world did you get someone to do that? I mean, I don't think you got much, very many people signing up for that deal. I think that's from these people that are having their organs harvested, Austin. They're basically being, they're taking these brains now that have been frozen. Like, there's so many of these celebrities and these Satanists that have had their brains frozen because they weren't saved and they were so concerned about what was going to happen to them, you know, in the future as far as going to hell, and they want to have their body and their brain reanimated, and they save their brains. Usually they save their head. They cut their heads off and freeze them, and then they come back in, and now they're going to take these frozen brains, reanimate them supposedly, and they say they're going to have the technology to do that in 3 years. We'll see if these zombies, if this zombie apocalypse they're trying to bring together actually is able, allows them to do this. Oh, by the way, you know, sometimes you see things on TV and you kind of go, nah, that can't be real. They really wouldn't go this far. And other times you go on TV and you go, yeah, that's probably real. They're probably going to do this. And, you know, they're probably have done this. But this is something that I was shocked by. And I mean, sometimes you get shocked. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you kind of go back and go, wow, I didn't see that one coming. Here's one I didn't see coming. Bill Nye, the science guy. Now, Bill Nye, the science guy, apparently is a pervert. And I'm going to say that very clearly because he just did a big thing with transgenderism and children and with talking vaginas and all kinds of other stuff on a children's program specifically aimed at 5-, 6-, and 7-year-old children who are watching TV. Let me read you this. This is out of Charisma Magazine. Perversion is a strong word, but there's no other way to describe it. The musical presentation promoted by Bill Nye on his Netflix show was perverse in every way. It was vulgar. It was vile. It was degraded. It was disgusting. That it was promoted in the name of science makes it all the more despicable. The world's top news source basically has said that Bill Nye went full lunatic with his vulgar transgender video. The man known as the science guy has taken science to a freakish new low, full lunatic. The video in question, My Sex Junk by Rachel Bloom, was featured on Bill Nye's Saves the World show. Within a few days, it had reached more than 500,000 viewers on YouTube, with the thumbs down responses outnumbering the thumbs up responses. Okay, 37,000 people hated it. Only 570 liked it. I've never seen a negative. 60-1 negative rating. Nye introduces the performance saying, so you guys, seriously, the next thing I feel is very special. This is a cool little segment. You know this woman from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Please give it up for Rachel Bloom. What follows is, well, You kind of look at it for yourself. It was that bad. It ridicules the idea that one must choose male or female, and it does so in the crudest of terms, and it gets worse, much worse, too perverse. And remember, the video is being promoted by the science guy, Bill Nye, on Bill Nye Saves the World show. We're not talking about a family sharing with tears the struggles of their little boy who identifies as a girl. And I will say now, I will add to this, because of what's happened to him and he was chemically castrated in utero because of estrogen put into the food supply. We're talking about vulgar celebration of perversion. And what happens next? Bill Nye, the science guy, the host of this Saves the World, strides to the middle of the stage and says, "That's exactly the right message, Rachel. Nice job." Read those words carefully and slowly. That's exactly the right message. Well, Bill Nye has gone full lunatic. Full lunatic. I mean, I cannot believe that he would do this. I'm not going to say some of the other stuff he was talking about because I got kids listening today. But this is a Charisma News. You can read it. It's an article by Michael Brown. Guys, I don't know what to say besides this pervert should be taken off the air. And I don't even know how to... He's promoting this to 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old children, Austin, who are watching the show. People park their kids in front of this stuff and they let them watch it, thinking they're going to get some type of scientific education, and they get this trash. What do you think?
Well, it's pretty strange. I mean, because I remember actually seeing his show when I was younger and a lot of the science stuff they did. And I specifically remember some of it being pretty cool. I mean, they actually had some pretty cool science experiments they would do on his show occasionally. And obviously, he's being used completely for the New World Order. I'm getting a ton of feedback again, Deb.
I'll take care of it.
And what we're seeing now with the mainstream media, with the TV, with the actresses, with the actors, with all this stuff, is even if it's completely out of line, even if it gets, you know, 60-1 dislikes, like Dad was just saying, it still goes out on the air. And these kids are so easily manipulated by these TVs. Remember, the TVs are originally built and used as mind control devices. And now not only do we have basic, you know, TV usage as mind control usage, we have these 4K and Ultra HD and super crystal clear TVs now that can project these images and they burn it into your brain. The New World Order does not want strong alpha males into the future of the globalist, you know, the entire agenda. They don't want that. That's why they've been pushing so hard for the last 5 to 6 years to bring in and really encourage not just a homosexual lifestyle anymore, the total transgender, confused, absolutely no idea who you are, what you are, anything about what you are, into the mainstream media and trying to make it cool. Now you have unbelievably blithering idiot perverts like this guy going on television and blasting this filth on TV for all kids to see, and it's supposed to be okay. I mean, you have what Jenner, who gets more publicity than I've ever seen somebody get in their life, even top movie stars. Every time you turn around, you hear about it, he's another TV show, another interview, another ridiculous thing, because he's a grown friggin' man, a grown man who says, "I'm going to be a girl now." But the truth about it is, guys, he obviously doesn't want to be a girl that bad because he hasn't committed 100% and had his male organs chopped off to be a female. So all this is now is a full-blown publicity stunt from the globalist and all these different areas on so many different levels to completely confuse, twist, distort, and pervert the minds of this younger generation. Because this young generation under mine, it's going to be a rough one, man. They're so raised up with the televisions, the iPads, the iPhones. I mean, there's kids now that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. They have their own iPads. That's all they do is play on iPads. You go out to restaurants, you'll see it. They're sitting there playing on iPhones. They go to school, they have their own iPhones. They have unlimited access to anything they want on their phones. Most of them don't even talk or communicate anymore. Everything's via text, via Snapchat, all this stuff. Nobody knows even know how to function anymore in society as far as an actually, you know, something I was reading the other day. It was an article on handwriting, actual long hand, like we're taking a pen and writing a letter. Most kids nowadays don't even know how to write a letter or how to even write correctly anymore. Everybody's so geared to typing or using phones that as far as penmanship is horrible, actual vocabulary is horrific, and being able to spell things correctly is almost non-existent in schools now, and they're not even teaching it or pushing it much more anymore because it's not needed with all the technology that we have. We're really turning into pretty much the dumbest, like, group of generation that we've ever had in the history of mankind, and it's kind of sad because one EMP would change it all, man.
You're right. It would just change it instantaneously, and all these kids would no longer have their iPads or iPhones working. Yeah. They wouldn't know what to do with their life. Yesterday, your little sister, she's 14 years old, Savannah, I took her to the place, I guess it would be a Metro, the cheapest place I can get a cell phone for, and I walked in and I said, I need a cell phone for my 14-year-old, and I need something that does not access the internet at all, period. And they said, well, we only have one old flip phone. It's like, you know, $20, and it's $25 a month, and it's all the texting and all the phone calls she wants to make, but it doesn't do anything as far as the internet. It won't even connect. And I said, that's the one I want. And the guys kind of started laughing, and I said, nope. I said, I don't need her accessing the internet at will and doing whatever she wants to do. But she has a lot of friends at church. They like to text, and so she's a girl. She's a teenage girl. I'm going to go and get her this phone. So I got her the phone. And as we were leaving the shop, she looked at the phone, and she was happy she got a phone because she's wanted one. But she goes, well, hopefully someday I can get another phone, one that's got more, you know, like, you know, more features. And I looked at her and said, if you don't like that phone right now, it's okay. I'll break it in half. It was $20, and we'll be done with this whole deal. Okay, I'm not going to play this game. You're not getting an iPhone. You're not getting an Android. You're not getting an iPad. You're not getting an iPod. You're not getting a computer that accesses the internet. None of that right now because it's not necessary. You need to continue to do what you do as far as doing your homeschool, staying focused and getting ready to go start state, you know, the college. She's already completed her college entrance exams and passed them at the age of 12, so she's extremely smart. She'll be 15 in November, in December. So the thing about it is that, guys, you're the one who controls if they get a phone when they're 14 or 15 years old. They're not going to drive to the phone place and get a phone unless you give it to them, period. Now, also, I want to make one more comment. Austin said that the TV was originally created as a mind control device, and he's exactly right. It does that through flicker rates. Now, in the beginning, especially in the very beginning, back in the 50s and the 60s, they learned through MK Ultra and the CIA mind controlled experiments that subliminal messages could be used through the TV set to basically program the population of the United States. Now, you guys can go back and you can watch the national anthem contained subliminal messages in 1960. All you have to do is Google that. And here's some of the subliminal messages it said. Now, every night back in the 60s, and you guys who are my age, you'll remember this, and even younger people remember this. We only had four or five channels back then. We had ABC, CBS, NBC, and then we had the UHF channels that were pretty much, you had to have like a coat hanger hanging on the back of your TV set to get these things in, or a little UHF antenna. Austin, you don't even remember all that silliness. But what happened is this. You know, now we have thousands of TV stations and thousands of TV sets, you know, with all these different little smart TVs, et cetera. But back then, we didn't have remote controls. We had to get up and change the channel manually every time you wanted to change the channel. Remember, we only had three or four channels. That was it, three or four. And so what was interesting about all of this is every single night, these TVs would go off the air around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and every single night they would play the national anthem. And they would have a picture of the flag waving while they were playing the national anthem. Now, here's what they didn't bother to tell you, that these German Nazi scientists from MK Ultra had already gotten involved with subliminal programming, and they'd already got us all involved with using fluoride at this point. And all these crazy things were happening all at once, and they were trying to control the masses of the population in the United States. Now, here's what's interesting about this. If you take and flash a screen, like, you know, may have a projector that maybe go at 30 or 40 frames per second, depending on the type of projector you have, and that determines the quality of the film, etc. Now, if you look at the old-fashioned film, you could actually take one spline of that out, one frame of the picture. It's a still picture, and they move it real fast through a projector, makes it move. You take out one frame, and you can put a word in. And what they did, they found out if they did it in the movie theaters, they would show the previews, and they would put pictures of a desert. And, you know, in one spot. So you wouldn't see the desert. It'd go by so fast your brain would see it, but you wouldn't see it. Your reticulator activator picked it up subconsciously. And what would happen is you'd see the desert, then they'd show a guy in the desert, then they'd show the guy in the desert like dying of thirst in another frame, then they'd show you a big bottle of Coca-Cola, you know, with ice. And theater sales of Coca-Cola went through the roof when they did this, because you were programming these people subconsciously to believe they were in a desert, that they were incredibly thirsty, and Coca-Cola would take care of it. Now, it was so effective that they banned it. But what they also did, and what the government did, it mandated these stations that were playing the national anthem, put a few little words
into their frames as you were watching the national anthem. Remember, this is only 15, 20 years after World War II. So everybody was a patriot. So they get here, they hear the national anthem playing, they see the flag waving, they're in this alpha brainwave, if not theta brainwave state already, they're already in this susceptible mode, and here are some of the words that they put in the national anthem. And no, I'm not making this up. You can look it up for yourself.
Yep.
Trust the U.S. government was a phrase that was flashed across the screen. God is real, God is watching was another phrase that was flashed across the screen. Believe in government, God is another phrase that was flashed across the screen. Rebellion will not be tolerated was flashed across the screen. Obey, consume was flashed across the screen. Buy Ultra, buy Naomi. Worship, consume, obey, believe. Do not question government. These are exact words that were taken out of the Star Spangled Banner by these guys who've torn this apart and looked at the old frames in the old movies and actually froze the frames and looked at these and pulled these words out. This has been going on now for decades and decades and decades. It's all part of the MK, Mind Control, German concentration camp, Nazi research as far as controlling the human brain. Because remember, you spell control in German with a K. That's why it was the MK Ultra Mind Control Program, because it was mind, which is M in German, mind, mint, control, program. So that what they were doing is they were carrying this right out of the concentration camps with their subliminal advertising. This is the government that we think can't do anything wrong. But remember, by this time in the 60s, our government was already hijacked. It was already gone. It was already being controlled through the Exchange Stability Fund, through the Rothschild Sabbatean Kabbalist bankers, which allowed these guys to come in and do whatever they wanted to do through the CIA. This is one of the reasons that Kennedy said the CIA's got to go, we got to disband them, we've got to stop bringing the drugs in, we've got to go ahead and do full disclosure on what happened at Roswell. Yes, and we have to do Executive Order 11110, which he did, giving the government the ability to print money outside of the Federal Reserve System again. And oh yes, we've got to get rid of the mafia and the mob. He tried to take on the entire deep state all at once. They blew his head off for it. Now, you can watch a lot of this, but it won't talk about the MK mind control stuff, but you can talk about what happened with Kennedy. There's a very good video you can watch, and this is for my new listeners because I've promoted it before. It's called From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick. I'm going to repeat that so you can write it down. From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick. Close to 5-6 million views. It's a 3.5 hour long video. Do it in a couple sections if you need to. It's phenomenal what it teaches you about who controls the United States, how the deep state is in control, and who these people are. But guys, they actually told us this in their videos, or the Star Spangled Banner. Worship, consume, only believe, do not question government. Rebellion will not be tolerated. Believe in government, God. Trust the U.S. government. This is some sick, sick stuff they laid on an unsuspecting population. And guys, it hasn't stopped. They're still using the TV set as a brain control device, just like Austin said. Austin, what do you think about this?
Man, that was an incredible synopsis on that. I'm glad you brought that up. I remember when I first saw that video and the breakdown of it in the freeze frames of the old original one, and it'll blow your mind. I mean, when you watch it and you realize that this is what they were doing back in the 50s and the 60s on the TV, and now you see what they're doing now, to the point where they don't even have to be very subliminal about it now. They're just blatant because of how far they've deteriorated our morals and our ethics. I've talked about this numerous times. You know, back in the 90s when a lot of sitcoms and TV shows came on, you know, there wasn't a lot of gay stuff on it. There wasn't a lot of really raunchy stuff on a lot of the average shows. You know, there'd maybe some mild, crude humor. And then it slowly started pushing in. There'd be a gay couple or a gay incident or a really raunchy scene or raunchy language. And it slowly progressed to now there's just absolutely ridiculous shows on TV that I can't even believe people watch. I mean, like, I heard that one the other day. It came on with Netflix or something. It's called Lucifer. The name of the show is Lucifer. That's the name of the TV show about Satan coming down to Earth and doing whatever he does, just, I guess, wreaking havoc. And it's been a hit show, apparently. When I looked it up the other day, I was shocked. I've never watched it, but I couldn't believe it's actually gone anywhere, but it has. You bring a show like that out on the mainstream in the 90s, dude, we knew it lasted a week. People have been boycotting. We're going to show our Lucifer? We're not going to watch this crap. Shut it off. We're not going to support you anymore. But that's how far everything's deteriorated in just past 15, 20 years. But on another note as well, what we see happening in Europe with the blatant propaganda, Austria's far-left president, Alexander Van der Bellen, has suggested now, 2 days ago, that for one day, all women in Austria should have to wear headscarves to fight Islamophobia. This is wild. During a talk, he said that while he believes a woman should wear whatever she wants, should Austria's rampant Islamophobia continues, there will come a day when we will ask all women to wear a headscarf, all of them, out of solidarity towards those who do it for religious reasons. He was sworn into president in January after defeating the anti-mass migration Freedom Party candidate Norbert Hofer in last December's presidential rerun. It's spoken of his supporting for abolishing natural borders and creating a federal Europe. This guy is an absolute nightmare. I really, really hope he doesn't do this to the Austrian people. They don't deserve this nonsense. But this is, again, everybody forcing us to try and submit to this Islamic just cult is really what it is. I mean, it's a very, very dark religion. Everything about it I can't stand. This is what they're doing over in Europe now. They're trying to do it here. They've been much more successful in Europe, though, because they've had the mass Muslim migration in the last 2 years. And the mainstream media, nobody wants to talk about this at all, that there's still Muslims pouring in the borders. And then you have a lot of these moronic, idiotic presidents that are sitting here making statements like, there will come a day when we will ask all women to wear a headscarf to show solidarity towards those who have to do it for religious reasons. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Where's the Christian basis on that? Where are you forcing to do anything for Christians to show that we do certain things? Oh, we're going to have a national day of prayer to Jesus Christ in support of this country and trying coming back to our roots. None of that. Everything's always about submission to Muslims, and I hate it, man. I can't stand it. I don't even want I can't stand it, Dad.
Okay. Austin, I don't blame you. I mean, the whole thing about it is that, you know, I've got some inside track here today that Trump and the administration is working and moving towards revoking the Johnson Amendment. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know. I've got it from an inside source. And if that is true, then my hat's off to Trump if it indeed gets passed and some federal court judge doesn't rule it basically unconstitutional again and puts a big block on it again. So we'll see what's going to happen with all of this stuff and what they're willing to do as far as working with Christianity. Paul Craig Roberts, who I had the opportunity to interview on the Power Hour, but then right at the last second, Joyce wanted to do that interview and I didn't get a chance to do it, has written a really good article on his website. It's called Trump, Now a Captive of the Deep State. I'm going to read you part of this today, but I'm not going to read you all of it because you can look it up yourself because it's that good. He starts by saying, when the gullible American public and the prostitutes who participate in deceptions permitted the deep state to get away with a fairy tale that a few Saudi Arabians under the direction of Osama bin Laden, but without the support of any government or intelligence agency, were able to outwit the entirety of Western intelligence and Israeli's Mossad, and deliver the greatest humiliation in history to the world's only superpower by making the entirety of the U.S. government dysfunctional on September the 11th, 2001, Washington learned that it could get away with anything, any illegal, any treasonous act, any lie, anything. The gullible Western populations would believe anything they were told. Now, he goes on in order to make, he talks about what happened in Syria. And then he says this again about he basically tears apart the whole thing of Syria. And he goes, I think I can say in complete confidence that this is what is happening. Washington intends to wear Russia down with orchestrated chemical attacks after chemical attacks, portraying Russia as an inhumane defender of Assad's alleged chemical attacks in order to more thoroughly isolate Russia and in order to provoke opposition to Putin's movement, especially among the U.S. and German financed NGOs, non-government organizations, and that Russia stupidly permits to operate in Russia and in the Russian media. Washington's goal is to force, by the weight of world opinion, Putin to abandon Assad to Washington. And I will add to that, in order to get the
central bank of the Rothschilds into Syria and to put the Qatar pipeline through Syria.
Yep.
I think he's absolutely right. And quite frankly, Putin said a few years ago, one of the articles by Jonas Alexis, he was quoted, that the West worships Satan. And he goes, that's all right with him. Whatever you guys want to worship is fine, but you can leave Russia out of it. Guys, at the higher-ups of these hierarchies, these oligarchs, these presidents, these rulers of these countries, and trust me, we all have been given and assigned a ruler that's being basically puppeteered through the Rothschild banking cartel and through the Sabbatean Kabbalists, they begin to realize that this dark force is basically what's controlling everything. That's why that when that Dutch banker came out the other day and said that he had been working in the banks and he refused to sacrifice a baby or a child, he walked away from it and he was forced to tears. That's who these guys are. That's why the Pedogate has completely been taken over. No one wants to talk about it. And now the CIA is going after Julian Assad to arrest him, to take him out. Why? Why would Trump do that when he praised Assad? Why? Ron Paul says that Julian Assange is a hero because he's telling the truth of what these governments are doing in the secrets. I think the same thing. I can't believe that we're going after Julian Assad. I can't believe that we're trying to extradite him and put him on trial. Trump praised him and praised him and praised him during the campaign because when he released all the stuff about Podesta and the soul cooking information, it helped put Trump in office. Here's the thing. What in the world are these guys doing behind the scenes that they know about now that's going to be broke by Assad if he releases stuff on the Trump administration? Why is the Donald going after Julian Assange to basically do this? It makes no sense to me, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the same thing that we've heard about when stuff Trump was saying about Snowden, these guys start releasing what the CIA is really up to. Pretty much probably one of the most corrupt government organizations in throughout history. I mean, ever. I mean, when we started seeing what got released with the Vault 7 leaks with the CIA, we already knew those guys were they've gone totally dark. I mean, we already know a lot of stuff they're involved in. But once you start seeing that they're running a full dragnet on the entire world, listening to everybody's conversation, monitoring everything, watching everybody at any given time, it's kind of troubling. But for, I guess, the federal government, they don't care. They already know what's happening. They already knew they've been doing this, so they don't want the information getting released. I think you're absolutely right with Assange. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to be trying to extradite him to put him on trial for treason when all he really did was perform a patriotic duty, allowing this stuff to be seen by the American population. They're going to say, well, he released, classified documents, or he released this, and it could have compromised that. First off, it doesn't matter. The stuff shouldn't have been there in the first place. Why is the CIA making malware devices that go into Samsung TVs, and when the TV's off, they can go in and listen to the microphone and listen to your entire conversations in your house, and all the conversations are recorded on the CIA's private server? Why is that being done? Why is that even okay that is even being done? That's like when the FBI director came out last month. He said, well, we see this Vault 7 got released, but we're looking into it on who actually leaked this, and we're going to bring them to justice, whoever leaked this. Really? That's the best rebuttal you have? That's the best response you come up with, is we're going to find out who leaked this and bring them to justice? No! Why are you guys even doing this stuff? Why are you even involved in it? Do you even think it's okay for you guys to be doing this type of stuff at all? Not who released it. I could care less who released it. It got released, and they couldn't even deny it. They said, well, yeah, pretty much everything we've looked at is completely factual. It's even worse. They admitted to doing it. It's crazy.
Well, let me give you an example. It'd be like if someone had a wife and she committed adultery, or a husband who committed adultery on the person, and someone videotaped it, right? And all of a sudden, the videotape was given to you that this is what these people were doing around behind your back, the spouse. And all of a sudden, you attacked the person who gave you the tape.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you need to talk to your wife or husband. Maybe you need to figure out who that person in the tape was. Maybe you need to address that problem. Now, instead of going after the person who gave you the tape, it's like killing the messenger. That's what this is. I mean, if you're coming in with a bad message, you got to kill the messenger. Messenger has nothing to do with it. Assange is the messenger. He's trying to tell us that our government is corrupt to the core. It's being controlled by these Sabbatean Kabbalists. And notice, he's been around for a long, long time, but when he released this stuff about soul cooking and Podesta and the children and the trafficking of the children and the drinking the blood and all of that stuff that he talked about before the election, now suddenly, 4 or 5 months later, we've got to take him out. Got to get rid of him. Why? Because these are the guys that are running the planet through their satanic rituals and dark arts. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists. This is what they do. And now they've been exposed, and they don't like the fact that somebody shined the flashlight on the roaches in the middle of the night. You know, it's not the flashlight's fault the roaches are out there. Okay? That's not the problem. The problem is you got roaches, okay? Don't break the flashlight and pretend like the roaches aren't there. It's ridiculous. By the way, Israel, completely breaking the Treaty of Westphalia again, is now striking again the Damascus airport, claiming they're hitting an arms depot. I mean, I don't know how in the world Israel got, well yeah, of course I do. We give them $40 billion worth of aid for the military stuff they have, and we give them their nuclear weapons and all the other stuff. And now I don't know why in the world they're over there trying to destabilize. Oh, that's right. That's right. They're a doggone, almost all the land in Israel is owned by the Rothschild family. Oh, that's right. That's right. We got to remember that. Oh, that's right. Those are the Sabbatean Kabbalists. Oh, that's right. Jerusalem is the number one homosexual destination on the planet. Oh, that's right. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say all that, but it's true. Why can't we say it? Okay, this is not what you think it is. This group of people that are running Israel are whacked out. Now, I'm not saying that Israel can't be returned to God. I'm not saying that Israel can't be restored. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying that the group of people right now that are running Israel have allowed it to become Tel Aviv to become the number one homosexual destination in the world. Now, if that doesn't seem troublesome to anybody else besides me, I don't know. It's basically a communist nation is what it is. And the only reason it survives over there because of the massive amounts of billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars it gets in aid from the United States. None of this is okay to me. Now, she'd say, well, should we cut off Israel? Guys, we don't need to be giving anybody any money anywhere on the planet that we borrow from the Rothschild Banking Commission's to pay back in interest.
Yep.
Newsflash. We got over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities and entitlements and Social Security and everything else that we owe people right now. Not even to mention the $20 trillion that we've got. Not even to mention the quadrillion that we have in U.S. currency all over the world that can't be paid back because the money was never printed. None of that. Why are we continuing to run the printing presses for any country in the world? Period. What happened to Make America Great Again? How about that? How about we bring the troops home and stop spending money on all this crazy stuff and stop running Afghan heroin into the United States? Why don't we do all that first? Maybe that'd be a good step. What do you think, Austin?
I think those would be some fantastic steps. Be some of the first stuff I'd really like to do. I mean, that's I've been a huge, huge advocate of cutting off all foreign aid to all countries. There's absolutely no reason that we're giving away billions of dollars to all these different countries all the time when they produce nothing or support us in any way, shape, or form. Like I've said this before, if we were incredibly prosperous right now, we had no debt, we had a surplus, we were growing in every single aspect of the government, of the individuals, as far as the businesses, everything was getting bigger. Absolutely. We want to donate in billions here and a couple billion here and support these countries and bring them up. Absolutely. When you got $20 trillion in debt just on the books, just what they're telling us about, but yet we're turning around spending, I think, roughly $90 billion a year, $95 billion a year in foreign aid, giving money to the UN, giving money to NATO. Give me a break, guys. It's a joke. It's all a scam. It's one big, giant scam. Yet then they say, we need to raise taxes on this. We need to raise taxes on that. We have taxes on every single aspect of every single thing you do in your life. Almost everything you touch right now has a tax on it in some way, shape, or form before you get it or when you get it. Everything. Every single thing. So to say we need to have more taxes or we need to tax this more, we need to add taxes on this, it's ludicrous. We already pay entirely too many taxes, more taxes than we need to fund all types of different aspects of the government. Also, too, you guys know I'm big anti-abortion person. Even though Donald Trump promised to completely defund Planned Parenthood if he was elected president, The GOP and the Senate often claim they want to defund the group. Apparently now, in the new language, reportedly there is no language in the continuing resolution, the CR, to fund the government through next September to defund Planned Parenthood. Meaning, the new CR they've just released, continuing resolution to keep the government funded again, what I was just talking about, why are we giving money to other countries, we can't even fund our own government. There's no language anywhere in the CR that talks about defunding Planned Parenthood. As of right now, since January 20th, Trump's inauguration, the Planned Parenthood has performed approximately 81,567 abortions in the last 3.5 months. They average 877 abortions a day worldwide. The Planned Parenthood is the biggest abortion provider in the United States. Last year, they totaled at $1.29 billion in revenue, of which of that $553 million came from government health service grants and reimbursements, i.e. also known as the taxpayers. As I just said a second ago, we do not need to be paying any more money in taxes. That's $553.7 million in taxes that could go to something way more Christian, way more productive, and way less sadistic than providing abortion in this country.
Well, they've got to have body parts.
Yeah.
I talked about this on Monday. Yeah. They've got to have body parts. They have to have body parts. They have to have organs. They have to have lungs. They have to have livers. They have to have kidneys. They have to have hearts. And we thought last year or so this is all a joke, that we'd never thought that the Planned Parenthood would sell body parts. Sell them. Black market body parts.
Yep.
And they were busted for it. And, of course, the people who videotaped them selling the body parts got busted and got fined with felonies and charged with felonies, and now they're all caught up in court. I mean, again, they broke the flashlight again. I mean, unbelievable. By the way, mainstream media finally is exposing the CIA drug trafficking conspiracy in explosive History Channel news series. So you guys have to make sure you watch that. I don't think they're going to go into all the details like we have on our show, but they're going to do a bunch of it. Richard Nixon, in his effort to silence black people and anti-war activists, brought the war on drugs into full force in 73. He then signed Reorganization Plan Number 2, which established the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. Over the course of the 5 decades, this senseless war has waged on at a cost of over $1 trillion, ruining and ending countless lives in the process. America's drug war has created a huge drug problem that is much worse than it was to start with. It's an article by Matt Agorist, A-G-O-R-I-S-T. You can look that up. It's got a really good thing. And then what he does, he's talking about how all the drugs are being taken in, how the CIA is involved in all of it. He goes, night one of the American Wars on Drugs divulges covert war operations, Cold War operations, that empowered a generation of drug traffickers and reveals the peculiar details, here we go, of the secret CIA LSD experiments, which helped fuel the counterculture movement leading to President Nixon's crackdown and declaration of war on drugs. This is all done by the CIA with this LSD. The documentary series then delves into the rise of the cocaine cowboys, a secret island cocaine base, the CIA's connection to the crack epidemic, and the history of the cartels and their numerous murderous tactics, the era of Just Say No, the negative impact of NAFTA, and the unlikely career of an almost famous Midwest meth queen. I mean, this sounds like some tinfoil hat, but it's not. Listen to this, guys. The role of the drug trade was exposed in 1996 in a critical investigative series, Dark Alliance. You can watch it online for free. Dark Alliance by Gary Webb, who was later murdered, for the San Jose Mercury News. The investigation, headed by Webb, reveals ties between the CIA, Nicaraguan Contras, and crack cocaine trade ravaging American African communities. The investigation provoked massive protests and congressional hearings, as well as overt backlash from the mainstream media to discredit Webb's reporting. However, decades later, officials have come forward to back Webb's original investigation. So guys, make sure you watch that. It's going to be on the History Channel. And sometimes History Channel actually has some pretty good stuff, Austin. I like watching it. What do you think about the fact that they're actually trying to expose all of this stuff now?
I'm pretty intrigued with that. I mean, I know the History Channel, like you said, they do have some wild stuff on it sometimes. I don't know how detailed they're going to go. I wish they'd go really detailed, but they'll probably get that pulled off the air before it gets released. But this could also be another one of the, globalist agendas that have to tell us what they've been doing now because of what they've been involved in. You know, they have to tell us what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. And it would be interesting to see exactly how a lot of this stuff is tied in. We know a lot about it. We bring a ton of it up on the show, but I have a feeling that it's so far entrenched in so many different levels that it would blow our minds if we figured out what's really going with it. Also, too, now McDonald's is saying that if they have to provide antibiotic-free beef, they will cause meat shortages. McDonald's is the single biggest purchaser of beef in the United States, McDonald's Corporation. The issue that everybody's seeing now is a lot of companies are starting to go anti-antibiotic meat, chicken, beef, so forth. Chipotle's has been doing it for years now. They've really started as far as a fast food company. A lot of other companies are starting to follow suit, especially with chicken. Beef's a little bit more difficult. But antibiotic resistance is starting to become a really big problem. I've talked about this before. There's over 2 million cases of antibiotic-resistant infections now diagnosed annually in the United States, leading to an average of 23,000 deaths per year. Most of the meat commercially available in the U.S., which is primarily what McDonald's purchases, is from factory farms, which are the biggest consumers of antibiotics in the country. In fact, 80% of all antibiotics used in the United States are given to animals, which are then later eaten by humans. The pressure is therefore immense on big meat purchasers like McDonald's to force change within the industry. And see, McDonald's, being that they're the biggest beef purchasers in the United States, they could single-handedly change this, but again, they don't want to spend the money on it. They don't want to actually have to fork out more cash for higher quality beef. They don't care about the quality of their food. That's why they're pitching a fit about it now. Cattle, you know, around 2 years old is when they usually go to the market roughly. The company claims, McDonald's claims, that this makes it far harder to prevent the use of antibiotics because the animals are more likely to get sick in that time. They allege that if the antibiotic use is removed too quickly, a serious shortage of beef could result. Now, the issue that they're not bringing up is that this should never even happen in the first place, but now that it has, we need to address it. This argument also holds very little weight, quite frankly, because since it is routine and unnecessary use of antibiotics, most of the time is a preventative measure that needs to be addressed, not the treatment of genuinely sick animals. You see this a lot of times now when you start looking at the reports. Majority of times, they give these animals antibiotics as a preventative measure. As soon as they start getting old enough, they put them on antibiotics to make sure they keep them alive and they don't get any infections, and they live on antibiotics until they're slaughtered. This is completely unnecessary, and there's no reason to be using antibiotics like this whatsoever. So majority of the time, in my opinion, if you could actually taper this stuff down and on new calves, don't give them antibiotics right out of the gate unless there's significant complication, it would cut all this out. But again, like I said, McDonald's is too worried about their cash and too worried about their income stream to have to try and change this situation. But it is something that really, really, really needs to change. And I commend a lot of the companies that are getting involved in this and changing it, like Chipotle's. Regardless if it costs more money, a lot of consumers now will pay the extra couple dollars to have high-quality, non-antibiotic, non-steroid meat, Deb.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. We've got to get rid of the antibiotics in the meat. We've got to get rid of the steroid injections. We've got to get rid of all this poison stuff that's feminizing our children and our men and everybody else and messing up women with fibroid tumors. By the way, I mentioned Gary Webb a minute ago. I said he'd been murdered when he blew the thing on this. Let me tell you how they found him. He shot himself, they said, committed suicide. Isn't that what they always say? Listen to this. This is crazy. He shot, the first shot entered in behind his right ear. He put, supposedly put a gun behind his ear, and they shot it, and they blew off his entire lower jaw. Okay? So he's laying there without a jaw, completely concussioned out of his mind, and now he picks up the gun again and shoots himself a second time in the head, and they're ruling it a suicide. I don't even know who writes crap like this. I mean, how in the world can they even believe this stuff, Austin? I mean, he wrote a 20,000 page thing, which basically said that the CIA was involved with running drugs and using the money to go into Nicaragua. And then his report on the situation became one of the most notorious and controversial articles of the time. It came out as a 220,000 word series that was followed by congressional hearings. Of course, he was immediately destroyed from a professional standpoint because of all of this stuff, but now they're saying years later that every single thing that he said was true and absolutely correct, Austin. Unbelievable. What's your next story?
Yeah, no. First off, you're going to shoot yourself, so you're going to reach back behind your head with a pistol and try and force it to the back of your head behind your ear, which I don't even... trying to do that right now. That's a very awkward position to shoot yourself. And then... pick up the gun after you just blow your face off, essentially blow your jaw off and shoot yourself again. Oh gosh, I mean, that's a horrible situation, but do they really expect us to believe that narrative of this, that they just committed suicide? It's always how these guys are, man. It's like that movie Shooter, when he has that, putting that big arm thing on that kid in that boathouse.
That's right.
They said, oh yeah, just relax, man. This thing works great. Don't worry about it. We used it multiple times. I mean, God, give me a break, man. They really try to expect us to believe this stuff, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, guys, we're almost out of time, and I want to start off, end the show with what I started on today. To 2 Kings 6:16. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Guys, greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. Guys, thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for stationing angels around us. Thank you for just being here and listening. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. God bless you guys. Austin, it's yours.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate everything. Thank you for all the emails and the support we've been getting. You know, and like Dad always says, thank you for buying your multiple from us. A lot of times people just take regular multiple from the store, from Walgreens or GNC or some company, you know, that you don't really even care about. But, you know, if you're going to get something and you need something, give us a shot. Give us a try. Try our ultimate multiple out. If you want something real advanced that's going to last a while, try our ultimate multiple powder. That's on sale now, product of the week, over 10% off. That's a really, really good product if you don't like swallowing capsules and you want to just mix it in with your protein shake or smoothie. Mixes incredibly good with that. Also, too, I had a customer the other day ask us about, you know, a couple different things as far as getting in the gym and what's a good basis of that. You know, the ultimate multiple is an always staple, so I always recommend that. Along with the Fit Food Protein, that's an always a good one to use, and the Muscle Blast. Those three are really a staple. You can go in and add some of the creatine we have lightly. I'm not a huge fan of using creatine heavy. I like to use it as a nutrient supplement, not as a blow-up formula to try and blow up on water weight. It's not healthy on the kidneys. But using a couple grams post-workout or a couple grams pre-workout to increase more of a pump is a great option. I mix it in. Usually I take 2 scoops of our BCAAs, our Muscle Blast formula, and then I'll throw in about 2 to 3 grams of creatine in a big jug of water and drink that while I work out on hard workout days. So I'm not training that hard, then I just drop the creatine and I still use the Muscle Blast formula. The BCAAs are really good for that. And then the Fit Food, I'll run 2 to 3 scoops post-workout when I'm done. So, like I said, guys, that's just a couple options there. Those are things we do all the time. If you need anything and want to know more about it, give us a call, healthmasters.com. Check out the product of the week. Send us an email. Call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.